So last week, for those of you who weren't here, Pastor talked to us about parenting, and of course, with this being baby dedication week, you know that Whitney and I have our own 7-week-old baby. So Pastor, I was listening to that sermon on repeat this week because I need all the help I can get with parenting. I just got to stockpile all the wisdom. And man, where is the time gone? You said you blink and they're 15. I mean, I can't believe he's already 7 weeks old. And in a month, I'm turning 30. And I mean, where did my 20s go? I can't believe it. There's been this song on the radio for the past probably 6 months, and each verse of the song talks about a different age. Like the first verse of the song, you may have heard, I don't know the title of the song or who sang it, but first verse is, you know, once I was 7 years old, and then the next verse is, once I was 11 years old, and then the third verse is, soon I'll be 30 years old, and I'm listening to them like, oh my gosh, that's me, like I'm going to be 30, this is my song, you know, they wrote that song for me, and I turn it up, and then the last verse says, soon I'll be 60 years old, and I'm like, I'm practically dead, you know, like by the end of the song, I'm calling my life insurance policy, I'm stocking up, I'm like, man, I gotta get some more life insurance, my son's not going to have a father, but you know, really, I mean, where does the time go? And I think he has a couple of lyrics during the song where he says, when he's 60, he says, will I have kids to warm me or love me? That's what he says. And I, every time I hear that song, I think to myself, man, I really hope I'm like that guy. I hope I have grandkids and kids to come back to me when I'm 60 and to warm me and to love me. And I mean, I would like to live a long, successful life. I think most of us actually here today, mostly everyone here would agree we want to live long, successful lives. Yes. Now, maybe, you know, you're young and you're saying to yourself, you know, I don't care if I live long. I can die young, I don't care. But even if you don't mind dying young, you still want to do something epic, right? You still want to go out on top. You still want to leave a legacy. No one says, man, I really hope I live short, failure of a life. We want to live a long, successful life. And today, I want to talk to us about a principle in the Bible. It's actually a principle that if we get this right, we are promised by God to live a long, successful life. All right? And the sooner we get it, the better, because this principle will actually help us with our families. It'll help us with our jobs. It'll help us with our marriages, our kids, our prayer lives, even this principle. So, you guys want to know what it is? Oh, good. I was hoping you guys would say that. Well, it's not going to cost you 3 easy payments of $19.95. You don't have to buy an audiobook. There's no supplements required. The principle we're talking about today is this: honor. Honor, and I think it's appropriate we talk about it on Baby Dedication Sunday. See, honor isn't something we talk about very much here. Chinese culture, they get it. They know honor, right? In China, there's this idea of face. You guys know the term saving face? That actually comes from Chinese culture. And face is this idea and concept, talks about your dignity, your responsibility, your authority, and your honor. And the biggest slight you can give someone is to say that they've lost face. The idea and concept of face in Chinese culture is actually perhaps the most important concept. To grant face means to give a chance to regain lost honor. To give face means to show respect for someone's feelings. In battle, a Chinese man would fall on his own sword. Why? So he wouldn't die at the hands of the enemy, and that was called an honor killing. There's actually a Chinese proverb that says, face, let me get this right, a person needs face as a tree needs bark. Another way we could say that is a person needs honor as a tree needs bark. Now here in America, we don't have the same idea and understanding of honor. I would say, actually, it's almost the complete opposite, because TV and comedy is always pushing the envelope, isn't it? Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is reverent anymore. Nothing is out of bounds. So we're always, there's no tragedy, there's no person, there's no event, there's no moment, there's no religion sacred or that deserves honor. Especially parents. You know, the tired trope of the bumbling, dumb dad that you've seen on TV. And it's been on for how many years? 40, 50 years, all in the family, right? Homer Simpson, Peter Griffin. Here's Peter Griffin, Family Guy, right? Modern Family. Dads are portrayed as these just stupid, bumbling idiots. We don't honor our fathers. They're the punchline of jokes, and we definitely don't honor the women. Women are objectified. We refer to moms and wives as the old ball and chain. They're not honored. And I would say to us today, this is one of the many places in culture where Christianity and culture need to diverge. This is one of the many places where people need to know we're Christians and the way that we honor. Because honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. The Hebrew word for honor is this word kabed, all right? And kabed paints this picture of something that is weighty or heavy, something that's significant. Kabed, when you honor someone, you treat them like they're someone of great importance. They have great weight. And on the flip side, when you dishonor somebody, when you dishonor them, it's you treat them lightly. And the word picture with dishonor is a word like mist or steam. So we honor, we treat someone with great weight or importance, or we dishonor, we treat them lightly. Now, one of the most popular passages in the Bible is this passage in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. And it says this: honor your father and mother, so that you will live a long time in the land that God, your God, is giving you. Moses wrote this. So Moses is saying to you and I, treat your parents like they carry great weight and great significance. Treat them with honor. There's a pastor and an author. His name's John Bevere. Has anybody ever heard of John Bevere? Some of the stuff he's written and spoke. He wrote this book called Honor's Reward, and in it he talks about how the Ten Commandments are ordered by level of importance. How do we know this? Well, Jesus said that the two most important commandments, number one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are about loving God, right? Don't have any gods before me. Don't make any idols. Don't use God's name in vain. And keep the Sabbath. The most important commandment. The next six refer to the way that we love one another. And when you look at these, it's really interesting because you can see it in Exodus 20. It kind of goes from most severe to less severe. Right? Like number six is don't kill. Yeah, that's pretty good. Don't do that, right? That's we got that down. All right, next one. Don't commit adultery. That's a little less severe than killing. I mean, you probably won't be, you know, put in the electric chair for adultery, but it's still bad. Right below that, don't steal. We got this. The next one says, don't lie. And the next one, don't envy. You know what's above don't kill and don't commit adultery? Honor your mother and father. Because honoring our mother and father is that important to God. Yes. It's that important. You know, in the Old Testament, the rule was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? When it comes to honoring your mother and father, it's not even close. The law said that if you even raised your hand against your mother or father, you were to be put to death. Even more extreme, it said if you cursed your mother or father, you were to be put to death. That's how important honoring God is and honoring our parents is to God. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor Robbie, that's the Old Testament. That doesn't really apply to us. That's the old law. You know, we have a new covenant. We have Jesus. We have grace. Well, I'm glad you thought that. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look what Paul says to us in the church of Ephesus. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And don't miss this. This is where we're going for the rest of today. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. There it is. That's it. That's the promise. If you honor your father and mother, it will go well with you and you'll live a long life. That's from God. That's God's promise to us. So honor our father and mother. And let's just go back real quick and backtrack to children. Children, obey your parents. Really, this is to anyone who is living at home depending on their parents to meet their needs. So if your parents are paying your bills, if they're, you know, making you food, if you're depending on your parents, you need to obey your parents. It doesn't say children obey your parents if you think they're right. It just says children obey your parents. Why? Why do we obey our parents? Because it's the right thing to do. For this is right. It says children obey your parents for this is right. You know, I heard the statistic that it takes an average of $250,000 to raise a kid to the age of 18. That's why you should obey your parents. If they didn't have you, they could be millionaires. Amen. Right? You and your brothers and sisters, they would be way richer. But let's be honest. I mean, until you have a kid for yourself, you don't realize the amount of sacrifices your parents made for you. So children, obey your parents. Next one, honor your father and mother. Treat them with great significance. Do you want to live a long, successful life? Thank you. Honor your parents. There's no qualifier here. It doesn't say honor the father and mother that deserve honor. Isn't that interesting? It just says honor your father and mother. Listen, even if your mother is belittling to you and abusive, you still need to honor her. Even if your father is absent or uninvolved, the command still is to honor him. This is so important. This is so important, guys, that we understand this. Because this is where God's kingdom and the world's kingdom clash. This is where we part ways. Because in society, you have to earn people's respect. You have to earn people's love. You have to earn forgiveness. You have to earn trust. As Christians, we love because God loves. We forgive because He forgave us. And, you know, we love our enemies because Jesus told us to love our enemies. They don't deserve our love. You know, we love the story of the prodigal son. Why? Why do we love it so much? Because the father, which is God, takes back his prodigal son, the son who runs away from home, takes his inheritance, spends it all, and wastes it. Wastes everything that his dad worked so hard for. The prodigal son wastes it. But what happens in the story? We're like the prodigal son. We come back to God. And in the story, the son, he comes back and he just asks his father. He said, Father, will you just take me back as a servant? Can you just let me work for you? And the father puts a ring on his finger. He puts a cloak on his shoulders. He throws this big party for his son. He invites everyone from town. He kills a fatted calf for his kid. Why? Why did the father do this? The son didn't deserve to be honored. The son didn't deserve honor. He did it because he wanted to show his son and he wanted to show everyone in town how much weight and how important and how valuable that young man was to him, to the father. So we honor our parents not because they deserve it, but because we need to honor them. But Robbie, you don't understand how much my parents have hurt me. I can never trust them again. I'm single-handedly funding this therapist practice from the past 6 years I've been going for counseling. My parents don't deserve my honor. And I would say, that's the point. That's the point of being a Christian. It's that they don't deserve your honor. As Christians, we need to understand the truth. And this is a central truth to being a Christian. It's this, that we don't get what we deserve. And that we get what we don't deserve. That's what grace and mercy are. You don't get what you deserve, and you do get what you don't deserve. That's what it means. So if God honors us and forgives us and gives us grace, I mean, think about this, guys. All of us here today, we've all sinned, the Bible says. We've all made mistakes. We all deserve death. We all deserve separation from God. But God, in his infinite mercy and grace, decided we could have a relationship with him, with God. We don't deserve it. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of being a Christian, is that we get what we don't deserve. Because honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. Now, I'd like to take a moment. I'd like to talk to our parents who are in divorced homes right now. If you're divorced, I'd like to take a moment and talk to you guys. I'll say, listen, I know it feels good when the kids love you and want to be with you over that other parent. And it's tempting to make sure your kids know all of the wrongs that you've suffered and the mistakes that the other spouse has made. And how great it is when that deadbeat dad is out of the picture, or that deadbeat mom is gone. But whether we like it or not, that other spouse needs to be honored. Now notice, I didn't say they deserve to be honored. I said they need to be honored. They need to be honored, not for them, not for that parent, and definitely not for you, right? They need to be honored because your child needs to honor them. Do you want your kid to live a long, successful life? They need to honor both parents. Do you want your kid to have a life that is short and a failure? Teach them to dishonor their other parent. Because honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. And now, parents in married homes, mom, dad, we have to be careful how we talk to each other in front of the kids. When we dishonor each other, we teach our kids to dishonor us. We set our kids up for failure. Especially fathers. Listen, if you're a dad, if you're a husband in here, this especially applies to us. Look what Peter said to fathers when it comes to honoring their wives. Grace, can you put that up for me? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. And here it is. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, dads, if you dishonor your wife, don't even bother praying. The Bible says your prayers aren't going to be answered if you dishonor your wife. We have to honor. Because honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. It reminds me of a story of this husband sitting there as his wife's talking on the phone with her sister. And, you know, her sister is like super mom and super wife. And she hangs up with her sister and she looks over to her husband and she says, "Honey, I just got done talking to my sister and she's incredible. She's doing all these things. She built a deck. You know, she just got done building a rocking chair. She's going to make this new quilt for her kids. She cooks dinner every night. She's like super mom. I don't feel like I make anything." She looked at her husband. She said, "Husband, what do I make?" And her husband said to her, "You make me happy." That's bingo, right? I mean, what a picture of honor. Honor is when you make the other person feel like they're the most important person in the world to you. Honor is when you show them how significant and how empty and light life would be without them. That's how you honor. Guys, you want to honor your wife? Make her feel like the most important person in the world to you. Honor communicates significance and importance. Honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. Now, what about honoring our spiritual mother and our spiritual father? Well, the Bible, God is our spiritual father, right? And Scripture says he's worthy of all honor, all glory, all praise. But what about your spiritual mother? Well, in Scripture, the mother spiritually is the church, right? It's the one that nurtures us. It helps us grow and develop and into spiritual maturity. And Scripture says that we should honor our spiritual mother this way. We should honor the church this way. 1 Timothy 5:17. "Let the elders who rule well be considered of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." Pastor Jared, Pastor Loida, they deserve double honor. They deserve double honor. And I will say this to us. I think as a church, we do a really good job of honoring them. You know, on their anniversary, their birthdays, Pastor Appreciation Month, we do. We honor them. I think we could honor them even more. We could honor them even better. See, Pastor Jared will never be Jared to me. Pastor Lloyd will never be Lloyd to me. He'll always be Pastor Jared. He'll always be Pastor Lloyd. Why? Or at least First Lady. Thank you, Mildred, wherever you're at for that. Because they're worthy of double honor. Do you want to live a long, successful life? Then honor. How do we honor? There's three ways that we honor. If you're taking notes, here it is. We honor through our actions, our attitudes, and our attention. We honor through our actions, our attitude, and attention. Actions, not yet, but thank you. So, our actions. A couple of months ago, this is probably about 6 months ago, I had a guy in our youth group come to me, and he really liked this girl. He really liked her. And he was trying to get the guts up to go talk to her dad. So he came to me, he said, he had, you know, this big plan about how he was going to introduce himself to her dad. Like, I can relate to that. And I said, so what are you going to do? What are you going to say? How are you going to talk to her dad? And he said, "Well, right off the bat, I've decided I'm going to call him by his first name. I'm going to say, 'Hey, Kevin, you know, so-and-so. I said, "Really? Why is that?" And he said, "Well, I don't want to put myself at a disadvantage right away." He's like, I don't want to put myself on a lower level than her dad. I was like, "Listen, man, you haven't done anything for this girl. You don't deserve any sort of equality to her father. You haven't invested in her. You haven't done anything for this girl. And you want to try and come in and act like you're on the same level as her dad?" I told him, I said, "You call him Mr. So-and-so until he gives you permission to call him by his first name. Listen, when you show honor, You're never put at a disadvantage when you show honor. Because honor begets honor. So how do we show honor? Through our actions, through what we say, through what we do. Saying thank you, right? Being intentional to say thank you. Kids, when your parents do something for you, when they pay your way to go on a trip or an outing, to go on a youth event, you express it, you say thank you. You don't take it for granted. Why? Because gratitude is an action. It shows honor. Right. Unexpressed gratitude, Pastor Lloyd, is ingratitude, right? Unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude. So we say thank you. How else do we show honor through our actions? We say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And of course, we just talked about this. We obey our parents. If you want to live a long, successful life, you need to honor through your actions, because honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. The second one is attitude. Our attitude. Look at this passage. Actually, I don't think I put it up there. This passage in Isaiah. God speaks these words through Isaiah. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best from the land. Did you guys hear that? When you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the best from the land. Notice he said willing and not just obedient. Because actions aren't just enough. Our attitude matters. Our willingness is our attitude. It's like the young boy who refuses to sit down, and his father comes over and finally forcefully forces the kid to sit down, and the kid looks up at his dad, and what does he say? I'm standing up in my heart, Dad. Right? He's doing it, but he doesn't have the attitude. Or what about the dad who's like spanking his kid, and he says to his kid while he's doing it, kid, just so you know, I'm doing this because I love you. And the boy looks back at his dad, and he says, Dad, I wish I was big enough to return the favor. Right? Your attitude. Everyone loves a person with a great attitude. Has that promotion at work been eluding you? How's your attitude been? Do you honor those above you from your heart and not just with your words or actions? How about this? Do those above you know that you enjoy following their instruction? Are they persuaded by your positive attitude? What is your body language like when your parent or your boss asks you to do something? Do you move as slowly as possible? Do you exhale? Do you sit there with your arms folded, slouched back? Do you roll your eyes, make no eye contact? Nothing determines failure or success like a person's attitude. Attitude is everything. An excellent attitude will lead you down a path of favor, promotion, and success. And a poor attitude will lead you down a path of loss, defeat, and compromise. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Lloyd spoke to us about Daniel? The scripture said that Daniel was promoted to second in the kingdom. Why? Because of an excellent spirit. In a society where the outcome of our lives can at times appear to rest so heavily on the decisions of others, this is the one area only you can change. No one, and I put this in bold, all caps in my notes so I didn't miss it. No one can make you have a poor attitude, and no one can force you to have a good attitude. When it comes to your attitude, it is entirely up to you. And this is where we put that on the screen, Grace. A wise person understands that his attitude in life determines his altitude in life. An excellent attitude is a tool that God uses to build an extraordinary future for you and I. If you want to live a long, successful life, you need to honor through your attitude. And the last way that we show honor is through our attention. Right off the bat, put your phone down. Right? Make eye contact. Don't just listen to respond. Listen to understand. Right? These are things that we hear a lot, but it's probably good to be reminded of. We honor through our attention. I think honoring through our attention really applies even more, though, to those of us in here with parents who are entering their twilight years, those who are elderly. Because, let's be honest, it's not always easy to have a conversation with someone who's older. Maybe they're a little harder on hearing. Maybe their voice is a little bit weaker. Maybe it takes them a little bit longer to gather their thoughts. They might not be the most fun unless they're Brother Smith, then they're the most fun person in the world. How can we honor the elderly? One of my biggest regrets to this point in my life is not taking the time to get to know my dad's father. When I was 17 or 18 years old, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And when you're a kid, you don't think about that kind of stuff. You don't really care, you know, to get to know your parents or grandparents, right? It doesn't even enter your mind. You're just kind of living your life, and everyone who's older than you is there to take care of you and serve you, right? That's what it's like as a kid. And then when you get around 16 or 17, 18 years old, you get to the point where you're like, you know what? Mom, Dad, I want to hear your stories. What did you do when you were my age? And by the time I was 17 years old, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I remember going to family reunion, and I sat down with him, and I remember asking him questions, trying to find out stuff, you know, Pappy, what was it like when you were a kid? And he was too far gone at that point. He would try to talk to us, and he would try to respond, and he would get three or four words into a sentence, and then he'd get lost in his thoughts, and then he would come back, and he would ask me again, and then I would ask him the question once again. And this went on for about 30 minutes or so, and then finally we stopped. I missed an opportunity to honor my grandfather. I missed an opportunity to honor his memory because I didn't give him my attention. Now, thankfully, with my other grandfather, with Pawpaw, we were able to correct a mistake, and he was 88 years old. And a couple of years ago, my older brother sat down with a camera, and he interviewed him. And he asked Pawpaw about his time in the war, World War II, and how he enrolled in the military early at the age of 16 because he wanted to go fight. About how he got engaged to my grandmother after only dating her for 2 weeks. And they stayed married until she passed away, until she died. It's one of the best ways we could have honored him, and now we can honor his memory to our children through our attention, the way that we take time. You know, a pastor asked an assisted living worker, asked them, how many of these elderly, how many of their families come to see them on a regular basis? And the assisted living worker said, probably about 30%. 70% of the elderly are just sitting there, no one there to love them or be with them or to warm them. Amy, I'll say to you, you just came back from Illinois and they're going through a really hard time. Her family, her sister, who's been taking care of her parents, this is my mother-in-law, was just diagnosed with cancer, and her parents are getting to the point to where they can't take care of themselves anymore. And her sister can't take care of them now either. So she packed up and she went to Illinois. And Amy, I'll say to you, that was the best way you could have honored your sister and your parents. That was the best way you could have honored them. I'll say this, one of the best examples of honor I've seen in my life is my Aunt Cindy, who takes care of my grandfather, the one who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's been bedridden for 8 years. And this woman has made it her personal ministry to take care of him. For 8 years. And I'll say this to us. I know not all of us are going to be Aunt Cindy. Not all of us have that same capacity. But as Christians, we have to do better than 70%. We have to honor the elderly through our attention. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear God. I am the Lord." In a culture where youth is worshipped, we must do a better job of honoring our elders. If you want to live a long, successful life, you need to honor through your attention, because honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. Mike, I'm going to wrap up here. I'd like to read one last passage to us. It's this 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Here it is. "Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy and useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." You see what this passage is saying to us today? A dishonorable person is of no use to God. A dishonorable person is wicked and is compared to wood and clay. A person that shows honor, their value to God is like silver or gold. Do you want to be useful to God? Do you want to be used by God? You must be a person of honor. Do you want to live a long, successful life? Honor. Do you want your prayers answered? Honor. Do you want to excel at work? Honor. We've got to honor through our actions, through our attitudes, and through our attention. Everyone stand. Today, I want to talk to a couple of specific groups. First off, if you're a family here that is affected by divorce, if you're a single family home, a single mom, single dad, or you're just separated, I'd like for you to find your kids, and I would like for you to come up here to the front. We're going to pray for every home that's affected by divorce. If you've been struggling to honor your parents, if you're here, and when I talk about being wronged by your mom or your dad, and you feel like you identify with that, you feel a grudge or you feel bitterness, and you're having a difficult time honoring your parents, I want to invite you to come to the front. And the last one, if you're a husband and you're here today and you know you haven't been honoring your wife the way that you know you should, I want to invite you to come to the front today. And we're going to pray for each other. This is what the Bible says to do. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, where's our church family at? Can I get some people in our church family to come up here and gather around these families? If you're a member of Chapel North and you know how to pray, I want to invite you to come and pray.